in Margaret and in all of us wants to reach out to them and touch them. Maybe your heart's broken today. Maybe you made absolute mess of your life. It's all right. Join the club. Jesus loves sinners. He came for sinners. He came for sinners. Not the nice people. Because there ain't any nice people. He came for sinners. And if you know that you're a sinner today, well, that's the first step, isn't it? Stop pretending. No masks. Jesus said to his disciples, "I warn you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Look out for that. Hypocrisy. A hypocrite was someone in a Greek play who wore a mask. He didn't know who he really was till the very end. Yeah, that's how hypocrites live, behind masks. You don't know who they really are till the very end, then you'll find out. Jesus said to his disciples and to all of us, "Hey, watch out for that. No masks. No masks. No pretending. No, with us, there's no room for that, brothers and sisters. We want absolute reality." If you're sinning your life and your heart, repent today. Get ready for the big wave of the Holy Spirit that's coming to our nation. The great change is coming. Do you know, I think it would be good if we had a revival prayer meeting just as we came out of Europe. Anyone up for that? It's not 6:30 in the morning, don't get worried. But it is 10:30 at night till 12:30 on the 31st of January, which is 2 Fridays' time. We'll come down here, we'll have a good worship. All the worship leaders are going, "Huh? We're in bed at that time." We'll have a good worship. And I think we'll pray. It's nothing to do with politics. It's to do with revival for our nation. But politics are always involved, aren't they? But those of you with some spiritual nous will know this, that nothing happens on earth unless it first happens in heaven. There ain't no big changes in the nations unless permission has been granted above. Us coming out of Europe is very significant spiritually. The atmosphere will change. And it's a massive opportunity for us to cry out to God for revival and seek him as he begins to revive ones and twos among us. I see that among us. I see God, the Holy Spirit, falling on ones and twos, and things are happening already. And it's preparation for what God is doing. God's sorting us out. And you know what? There's no preparation like the words of Jesus, is there? Man, if you want a challenge as a disciple, read the words of Jesus, because he adopts us freely. But then, like Joe said, he's got to raise us. It's beautiful to lovingly choose a child as God chooses you this day, and as he's chosen you and he's delighted with you. It's his great pleasure. He loves you with an everlasting love, but he loves you too much to leave you as you are. Once you're chosen, you're in the family. And if you're in the family, hey, welcome to the battle. And we'll all be in it together, but we're going to be transformed through the whole of our life as we follow Jesus, as we become disciples, learners of Jesus, and we learn to live as he lived. We learn to do what he did, and we learn to minister like he ministered. That is the purpose of our life, not just to get your ticket to heaven and wait and turn up at church. There's more than that. You are to be transformed, brother, sister, as you follow Jesus, as you repent, as you believe, as you give your money and possessions away, as you forgive, as you love one another, as you learn to pray and have faith and do the will of God, which is a mighty adventure and challenge. I've been reading through the Gospels lately, the Gospel of Luke. In the middle of the night, actually, I've noticed that the Lord seems to have no respect for British Mean Time, for Greenwich Mean Time anymore. And, man, I've just been so challenged again by the teaching of Jesus. A couple of things struck me straight away. One is just around his teaching is just again reminded of his hatred of illness. Jesus just healed everyone all the time in any situation. He just did it. He didn't ask for permission. He didn't ask for their permission. He didn't just heal people who came to him. He healed them anyway. He just healed everyone in the room who was sick. Of course, he had 100% success, which is better than us, but he did it anyway. Wow. Every situation, if it's a sick person in a synagogue, that's what he did first. Come here. And then he'd rebuke all the Pharisees about it. And which of you, if his ox or ass fell into a pit, wouldn't immediately pull it out? I thought, wow, that's how Jesus sees healing. Oh, there's a sick guy. Come on, let's immediately pull him out. That's how Jesus sees sickness. All sickness. Put your hand up in the room if you're suffering from some sickness this morning. Right, we'll pray for you to be healed. Because Jesus is here, isn't he? So he wants to do that for you. Sometime you might have long-term sickness. He wants to heal it. He wants to put it right. He goes in someone's house for a meal. Someone sat across the table who's ill before he does anything else, before he does any teaching. He just heals the bloke. Mate, come here. What do you guys think? Do you think it's okay to heal on the Sabbath? We're all silent. Pah. Be healed. And he teaches them. I'll tell you, it is all right to heal on the Sabbath. What's for starters? And then he has the meal and teaches them all the way through the meal, actually. I'll be careful sitting in the good seats. Here's what you should do. And thanks for inviting me. But you know, you should have invited, mate. You should have invited all the people who live around here who can't be invited back. And don't invite Jesus for Sunday dinner. Unless you want your life sorted out. He sorts everyone out. Everyone. Woo! I'm turning into Bob Keir. Luke 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you'll all perish." Or those 18 people who died when that tower fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the other people living in Jerusalem? I'll tell you no. But unless you repent, you'll all perish the same. Man, I've often said you'd never have Jesus on a TV program, would you? You just wouldn't be able to interview him. First of all, he doesn't answer your question. He ignores it and says what you should know. And with Jesus, it's all about you. Always about you. You never mind them. What about you? That's what Jesus always said. Jesus, have you heard about that plane going down in Iran? Was it shot down? Jesus, what do you think? Imagine him on the BBC. He'd say exactly this. He'd say, do you think those poor people in that plane were any more evil than all of you lot in every plane you ever take in your life? But unless you repent, you're going down as well. That's what Jesus would say. We know it because that's what he said. He'd bring it right back to you. Hey, brothers and sisters, this morning, let me bring it back to you. Have you repented yet? I mean, repented. You can go to heaven, but you won't be taking your sins with you. And you won't be sleeping with your boyfriend on the way. You won't. And you won't be dodging the tax man on the way, sorry. And you won't be living a life of evil and sin. The Lord wants to free you from those things. He adopts you, accepts you as you are, or you could never come. That's the good news, the gospel. You're saved by grace. Then, hey, time to change. And if you read Jesus' teaching, man, that'll help you. And if you want to be a disciple, you must know Jesus' teaching. That's what he said. He said, my disciples are those who continue in my word. He said, if you want to know how to have a good life, this is what you do. He who has a good life gets my words and puts them into practice in his own life. He puts them into practice. That's how you become a disciple. Takes years, you know. Takes years and years. and years to become like Jesus. But you have to start somewhere. Some of us haven't started. Here's where you start. Repent. Repent. Repent means to turn around. Turn around, start walking towards Jesus. What are you walking towards? I'm walking towards my retirement. What? I'm walking towards finally paying off the mortgage. Oh, well done. Aren't you a world shaker? I'm walking towards earning so much money that I don't have to work. That's no purpose in life. Jesus warned against that. Read it the other night, about 3:30, sat on the loo. He said, there was a rich man whose fields produced an abundant harvest. Because someone had come up to me, see, with another one of those questions, a reasonable question. This lad comes up to him and says, Jesus,
yeah?
Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. It's a pretty understandable request. These two brothers, it's only fair, isn't it? It's only love, isn't it? It's only justice, isn't it? The dad's died, and one brother's got the lot, and he's not sharing it with his other. That's not very nice. Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to tell Jesus about it. Yeah, go and tell Jesus about it. I am, and he'll put you right. Jesus.
Yeah?
Tell my brother to divide the inheritance between me and him.
Jesus said,
who made me your judge, mate? Who made me the divider over you? But everyone, listen to this. Be on your guard against all greed. And he told this parable. He said, there was once a rich man.
Oh, so he's already rich, eh? He's already rich.
I'd never read that before in that parable. There was once a rich man. That means he had everything he needs. That puts him in our bracket, incidentally. There's a rich man whose fields produced abundantly. And Jesus just tells a sad story. So he thought to himself, whoa, my boat's coming. What shall I do with all my wealth? I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns. Nothing wrong with them, like. But I'll pull them down and I'll build bigger barns. And I'll fill it with all my stuff. And I can finish work. And I've got all my stuff, finished work, I don't have to work. Hey, isn't that the dream of thousands? The dream of thousands with every scratch card that's ever scratched. The purpose of life. I've enough money so I don't have to work. Let's see what Jesus says to that purpose in life. And then he finishes the story. God said, you fool. This night, your soul is demanded of you. And all your stuff, who'll get it then? That's what Jesus said to this lad who wanted half of the inheritance. Have a nice day, son. Hopefully he woke up. Boom! It doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter. Jesus just told his disciples, hey, sell it. Don't be afraid, little flock. It's your father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. You go to heaven. Sell your possessions and give to the poor and provide yourselves with purses or bank accounts, if you like, in heaven. Have you opened your heavenly bank account yet, brother, sister? Oh, you've only got one here. Oh, you've got a few here. Oh, no, you need to open one there. Haven't you opened one yet? You don't want to get there and have them now, do you? Start investing in heaven. How do I do it? Easy. Sell your possessions. Do you want to be a disciple? Jesus spoke more about money than anybody else. Reduce your standard of living, live a simpler life, and give the rest to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, says Jesus. That's why it's hard to be a disciple. That's why you have to count the cost. That's why Jesus said, before you come, sit down. There's the small print. Work it out. Are you able to finish? If you're not able to finish, buddy, don't start. But if you're convinced here today, brothers and sisters, that there's nothing else worth living for than to know God and do his will and please him, and if you really believe in the kingdom of heaven, then you'll give up your life on this in this world. And you'll just live for what C.K. was singing about. Just live for Jesus Christ. Can happen when you're 16, can happen when you're 60, doesn't matter. But you decide where you will go. I've quoted that poem to a couple of my beloved brothers this week, John Oxenbury. To every man there opens up a way, ways and a way. And the high soul climbs the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between the rest on the misty flats go to and fro. But to every man there opens up a way, ways and a way. And in the end, each man will choose the way his soul will go. You can climb the highway if you want. Hey, join us. That's our aim. That's how we live. Or you can go right down low with the world. Or you can be just like the rest in the middle on the misty flats. Bit of this, bit of that, bit of God, bit of world, bit of just in the mist. Not sure where I am really. Well, you should. And you can. That's what you choose. Every person chooses. It's too scary up there. I know it is. It is scary. You're alone. You're alone from the world, but you're not alone with God. In terms of God, you're close to God. You choose whether you just live for the world and yourself and money, or you really live for the kingdom of God. You're enjoying this morning, aren't you? I can tell. I'm getting that feel-good factor from you, brothers and sisters. It's very challenging, isn't it? And then I read this. Yesterday morning, another stupid question someone asked Jesus. These are Margaret's glasses, by the way, just in case you're getting worried. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way towards Jerusalem. Someone asked him a really stupid question. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? What kind of question's that? Why do you want to know that? What are you after, mate, to ask that stupid question? Are only a few people going to be saved? What, do you think you're some holy man, like you're going to be saved and loads aren't? Or what are you saying? Shouldn't you rather be asking this? Lord, am I saved? Am I going to be saved? Are my family going to be saved? Yeah, that's a better question. Not how many, are only a few people going to be saved. So Jesus totally ignored this question as usual and took it straight to him. Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside, knocking and pleading, Sir, open for us. But he will answer you, I don't know you or where you come from. And they'll say, but we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. And then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you stand there seeing Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves shut out. And people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Wow, that's some of us, the north, the south, the west. That's us. Some of us will take our place. How are you going to take your place? Well, here's what you do. You make every effort to enter through that narrow gate.
Hey, the gate's open. Jesus opened the way to heaven for you and me. It's open, but you must find, once you find that gate, whatever the cost, get through it. Go through it. Put your faith in Jesus. Pray. Cry out to him. Repent. Turn your life around towards God. Start going towards God. Start seeking God. Do whatever you need to do to get through that, to get through the gate. That's what Jesus' advice is to everyone. Many, many, many people will be saved, and many, many people will be lost. But that's irrelevant. What really matters is, what about you? Where's your life headed? Jesus said, make every effort to enter through that gate. I've only heard the Lord speak to me audibly twice in my life. And I know that's a big deal. Some people have never heard God speak to them out loud. Unless it was an angel, I don't know, but I've heard voices twice. Once was Margaret saying, it's time to get up for church. We're late. That was this morning. But there's a couple of times. But one time was when I was in Spain with Bob. We just started Amazing Grace, actually. We just finished that Alpha course in the pub. Some of you brothers who paid the mighty price, remember, finished the Alpha course in that pub, and we'd I was on a trip to Spain with Bob. Went in this house, beautiful Christian's house. Had a nice time of prayer. Went to sleep. I woke up with a voice in my ear. I thought someone was literally knelt next to the bed speaking to me. And I was filled with joy and peace, and it was the Holy Spirit or the Lord speaking to me out loud. And the amazing thing was, it was a poem. And this was it. There is a garden famous, as green as it is long. The garden is clean. The garden is pure. And its walls are strong. And then I woke up. And then in my heart, it continued, not in my ear. And if you find the garden's gate, do not hurry past. For though the garden's gate is small, it is in fact its last. Brothers and sisters, please don't come this close to the kingdom of heaven and then not go through. Don't be among the crowd where Jesus warned us not to be, that one day say, but we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our, we heard you teach. Hey, hearing him teach won't save you. Coming to this table won't even save you, unless you're born again. Unless you've put your faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. Unless you've personally cried out to him to save you and then been saved. And know that you're in the kingdom of God and you're going through whatever the cost. You're dropping off anyone and anything that prevents you going through that gate. Jesus said it's a narrow gate. He said make every effort. The Greek word is agonizai. Agony, battle, fight it means. It means go through the fight. Go through the agony to get into the kingdom of God, because it's worth it. Whatever it costs you, whatever you have to leave behind, go through the agony. It's the same word that Paul used at the end of his life, exactly the same word, when he said, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've fought the fight of faith. I've been through the agony. I've endured through the agony. And I've won. What a way to end your life. Brothers and sisters, salvation is free. It's a gift that you could never buy. But make sure you get through this gate. Fight your great three enemies. Fight them and get through. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world tells you, don't get too worried about it. There's plenty of us out here on this side. Just be with us. Hey, don't get too religious. You don't want to go over the top. You're a nice bloke. You look after your kids, don't you?
You've never murdered anyone, have you? You're all right.
Hey, they're the normal arguments of this world. And it's poured over you like a flood every day through everything you ever listen to.
Be normal. Be with us. Be normal. Be with us.
Problem is, they're not normal and you're not meant to be with them. You're meant to get through this gate at all costs. You see, Jesus knew. That's why it was so urgent. When Jesus spoke about heaven and hell and God, he knew. Because he'd seen it and been there. That's what he said. He said, listen, in John's gospel, he says, when I talked about this stuff, I'm talking about what I've seen. I'm not guessing. Well, maybe one day the... Oh, no. He came from there. He's going, but he's telling you the facts. That's why he's so urgent. It's like the bloke who's been to the bottom deck of the ship and seen the water flooding in. He tells you to put your life jacket on in a very different way from the other guy who thinks at one point there might be a need to... The ship might go down, it might not go down. Jesus isn't like that. He's like, you know, Lord, how many people are going to get saved? Get your life jacket on. You, get your life jacket on. Lord, is it good to heal on a Sabbath? Get your life jackets on. Jesus, who told people many times not to be afraid, told them to fear God. It's the only time in the Bible God ever tells you to be afraid. Yeah, fear him. Fear him. Some of us don't fear God enough. We don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously. Jesus said to his disciples, don't fear those who kill the body. Everyone's frightened of people who kill you. Don't fear the people who knife you on a Saturday night. Don't be frightened of that. Don't fear terrorists. Don't fear people who kill your body. Come here. Hey, I'll tell you who to be afraid of, though. Fear him. This is Jesus saying it. Fear him who, after he has killed you, has power to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Wow. Is there something we've missed? We need to take God and the kingdom of God and go into heaven absolutely seriously as Jesus does. Your soul matters. Jesus is reaching out to you in love from the cross. Reaching out to you, having paid the price for you, to put his hand on your broken-hearted back and love you and draw you in and change your life and save you. He loves you. So don't be lost through listening to this world. You're all right. You're not all right. Get your life jacket on. Now. Get prepared for revival as well. Be ready. It's time, brothers and sisters, to seek the Lord while he may be found. To do all the things we've taught you since day one in this church. Forgive each other. Be humble. Pray. Seek God. Put him first. And you'll be ready. Don't be distracted by this world. Don't be distracted by your flesh. Your flesh tells you that you're all right as well. Your flesh tells you that you don't need to go through. Just do some more good works. Just get involved with charity work. Just look after your mum in that home. That'll do. That's what your flesh tells you. Because your flesh can't stand looking in the mirror. It can't stand it. When it sees the Bible, it can't stand it. I mean, hearing this teaching from Jesus, you can't stand it, can you? Neither can I. Sat on that loo in the middle of the night. I can't stand it. Just think, whoa, God, make me a Christian. God, make me a disciple. Come on. That's what Francis of Assisi uses every morning. Come on, brothers, wake up. Because as of yet, we've done nothing. Let's just start again today. Let's seek the Lord. Let's become disciples. Let's keep going. That's what Jesus meant. He said, those who endure to the end will be saved. You keep going. Go through the agony. Keep going. Keep going. You may have had a terrible year last year. Hey, no problem. God loves you. Have an awesome one this year. Revival is in the air. The Holy Spirit is dropping like great anointing drops from heaven. On many people. People are getting saved. People are getting changed. People are seeking God.
Just off their own back. It's happening now. Wake up. It's here. Start reaching into it now. As the clock ticks down to the end of January, and then the mighty waves of the Holy Spirit that will start coming over this nation. Be part of it. Get in there first. And of course there'll be some awesome people who'll overtake us. So what? Our joy is knowing God, isn't it? Some awesome dudes will come and get a denarii for working a day's work. And we'll say, they've just come in. We've been here since day one. Joe Huggins making that cake on the first day of church ever. All Joe and Chris have been through. All that agony, all that suffering, all that repenting, all that correcting, all that. Isn't it lovely to just see you stood up here? Still here. It's all that matters, Joe. Still here. Shall we stand? Make every effort to enter through that narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter, but it'll be too late. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, that's it. Brothers and sisters, let's meet with Jesus in these moments now. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, if you're not sure whether you've gone through that gate yet, just lift up your hand to heaven now where you are and reach out for Jesus. Reach out for him now. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter if you think you're the Bishop of Madras. Just lift up your hand. If you need Jesus now, lift up your hand to him, not to me. To him, lift up your hand to him. Reach out like Margaret reached out to that woman, and she reached out to Margaret. Reach back to Jesus now and come into his embrace. Reach out to him. He's in this room, willing to save, willing to forgive you. Don't leave your hand by your side, brother, sister, if God is calling your heart now. Lift up your hand to him, because it's a prayer and it represents your heart. Lift up that hand to him and he'll take your hand and he'll save your soul. But only you can decide, because in the end of the day, every man himself decides the way his soul will go. This is a moment of decision towards entering the kingdom of God, and you lift your hand high if you want to be saved and enter the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying for us on the cross. We thank you, Father God, for reconciling us to yourself through the death of your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that on the cross you paid for our sins in your body on the tree. All of them. We reach out to you for your mercy and help. Lord, never mind what's going on in the world, save me. Lord, never mind what's going on in politics, save me. Save me, Jesus, now. Come and change my life. I don't want to be a churchgoer. I don't want to be someone who just eats and drinks in your presence and hears you teach. I want to go through the gate into this garden that is famous and green and pure and clean. I'm going in now, Lord. I'm coming in, Jesus. Let him pull you in now. Let him pull you in out of that world, out of that sin, out of that relationship. Out of the devil's grip. All the devils in hell can't stop you if you choose. Your choice is the most powerful thing on earth. You choose God now and his way. His way. Put the kingdom of God above everything. Above the pursuit of money. Above the love of your own family. Above everything.
Jesus is absolutely first on nothing. Thank you, Jesus. You see those hands? You keep meeting with God. And those of you who are sick, quickly come and stand down the front. We're going to pray for you. Can I have some of the elders and leaders to come?